May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May He grant to you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your needs. We will rejoice in your salvation. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before Thee as did the psalmist, and we pray that You will hear us in the day of trouble. You will help us from Your sanctuary. You remember our faith and what we have done for You by grace. And we pray that You will reward all of Your people according to their needs, that You will hear their petitions, so that we might all rejoice in Your salvation. Help us as we come in such a spirit here this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us look to the Lord as we go to Him in prayer as His people here this morning. Our Father, as we gather here today in Your presence, we are reminded of the sins that so easily beset us. Lord, the fall itself brings on us many trials and tribulations. Just because we are alive on this earth, we have to deal with unexpected sickness. We have to deal with unexpected events that drain us of our health and wealth. Oftentimes it is not because we sinned. It just comes with a fallen world. Lord, these are enough for us to bear. Yet, Lord, when troubles come upon us because of sin, sometimes because we have simply sinned, sometimes because we lack wisdom and patience, Lord, we only add troubles that we need not add. There are enough troubles in life without adding to them. Why must we add to our troubles sins that can be avoided? Why do we heap upon ourselves troubles when if we were just to follow Your word, we could avoid many of them? Why are we so much of a problem when there is oftentimes no need for it? Why are we like men who have no sense? You have no inkling of the troubles they cause others when there need not be any trouble. O Lord, deliver us from our troubles. Deliver us from our sins. We come to You this morning. You are the one who can save us, not we ourselves. You are the one who can save us from the curse of our sins and even the consequences of our sins in this life. Salvation is not only forgiveness and the promise of eternal life, but it is a change in life in this world whereby we see that we need Christ more and more to live as we ought to live. Surely You have given us Your Holy Spirit that we might change. Surely Christ did not die in vain. And surely You have not decreed for us to lose the battle we fight in our lives. Lord, You saved us to be more than churchgoers and people who say pious words. Lord, You saved us from pious platitudes. You saved us to cover over all of our sins. Lord, You have saved us from hypocrisy. We thank Thee that Thou dost build up Your people. You are our God, and You build up Your church. Our Father, we pray for this church in this coming year as changes will be made, as one pastor leaves and another pastor comes. We pray that You will enable the congregation to be very glad and joyful when you call a man to this church, to this pulpit. We pray that he will come with joy and vision, and we pray that you will bless his ministry, that you will bless the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. But we know the church will go on. Men live and die. Men come and go. But Jesus Christ is the same today and tomorrow and forever. May the doctrines of grace be proclaimed loudly. May the death of Christ continue to be the theme. And Lord, may you grow the church in numbers and in the lives of people. And may it be a testimony, a light set up on a hill in this community and in this area and even throughout the world. Our Father, we are thankful that you gather together the outcast. You heal the brokenhearted and the blind. We know that you do not delight in the strength of a man. You do not delight in the fearless who are confident in themselves. You favor those who fear you. You delight in a contrite heart and a broken spirit. Lord, we can bring nothing of any value here today. We have no merits to offer. We have no brownie points. We cannot weigh our good and evil to find out if we are acceptable before you. Lord, that would only bring depression. We can only come as the downcast, as those who despair because of our failures, as we fight the battle against sin. We come as the scum that floats to the top of the water. But we come knowing that unless God's grace supports us, we would be as the worst of the world. Even as your sanctified people, we sometimes think we are indeed the worst of the world. But we come believing that Jesus died for us, that he paid for our sins, and that we are free. We are people of liberty. We are people of hope. Even in the midst of all of our trials and tribulations, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, so we come this morning, and so we ask that you will hear our prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning as we conclude chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, reading verses 11 through verse 15, chapter 20, the book of Revelation, verse 11 through verse 15, let us hear the reading of the Word of God. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we've heard your word. We ask that you will speak to us this morning by your Holy Spirit. Speak the truth. Help us to hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week I told my wife that as I have been preaching through Revelation chapter 19 and 20 and even prior to that I've been preaching about judgment and wars and the lake of fire, and I told her, I said, you know what, I'm a little bit tired of it. There's more to the Bible than that, but at the same time, I know, I believe, and I'm confident that with all of this that we have heard, I've tried to intertwine the gospel into the lessons which we have dealt with on Sunday morning. So today we deal with, in a sense, the last judgment, the last day, and we deal with the final lake of fire. And I would imagine there would be those who would say to you, who would also say to me, that, Larry, you don't still believe in that stuff, do you? Do you believe in the second coming of Christ and the final judgment of all men? A lake of fire where everyone who is not a Christian will be tormented night and day forever and ever. Larry, you're a joke. Nobody believes in that kind of stuff anymore. Even most churches don't believe in it. So oftentimes we hear the purpose of the church is to let everybody know that God loves them, and secondly, to improve their quality of life while they are on this earth. That's what the church has been called to do. And my answer is, well, no, Larry still believes in the second return, visible, personal return of Christ, and the final judgment of all men, and a place called the lake of fire, where all those who are not in Christ will be tormented forever and ever. It's clearly taught in the Bible. And if the Bible says it's true, I believe it. I always have, and hopefully I always will. This is clearly taught in the book of Revelation, in chapter 20. In verse 11, we see that there is a great white throne judgment. I think the term white refers to the purity of the judge. God is holy and pure. God is qualified to judge. We see in verse 11 that the earth and heaven will flee away. That will be the end of the earth and the heaven that we know. There will be a new earth and a new heaven. If you look ahead to chapter 21, verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This will be the end of the world as we know it. The end of human history as we know it. We see in verse 12 that all men will be judged. The great and the small. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The great and the small. Some are great and some are small. There are kings and paupers. There are rich men and poor men. There are male and female. There are masters and slaves. Regardless of your position in life, regardless of whether you were a pauper or you were a king, you will stand before the judgment seat of God. And regardless of how you died, whether you were died and buried in a grave, or whether you were died on a ship at sea, and your body was disposed of into the water. Whether you were cremated, whether you simply disappeared, all the bodies, not only those in the graves, but those who died unusual deaths, those whose bodies were disposed of in the sea and in any other way, even burned with fire, those bodies, God is able to resurrect all of those bodies from the grave. I think sometimes People cremate their bodies thinking they will destroy it finally and they will avoid the judgment of God. But whether it's been cremated, whether it's been thrown into the water of the sea, or whether it's been put into a grave, God is able and will raise every physical body from the dead. You can't avoid the resurrection no matter how you treat the body at death. There will be two sets of books, or one set of book and another book in verse 12. And books were opened. Plural here. The scrolls. And another book was opened. So we have a set of books, and we have one book, which is the book of life. The books, plural, contain the deeds of all those who were on earth, the unbelievers, and there will be a judgment of works, not just a lack of faith, but a judgment of the deeds that were done. And the dead were judged in verse 12 according to the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. Now we know that apart from the sacrificial death of Christ, there is no hope in the judgment according to deeds. The Westminster Confession of Faith says in regard to deeds, even the good deeds of unbelievers, that they are sinful if they do good works, but they are more sinful if they do not do them. I don't know if it's been said any better than that. What about the good works of unbelievers? It is sinful if they do not do them. It is sinful if they do them. It is more sinful if they do not do them. The language here is that God keeps books. I'm not sure that He needs to. I don't think He needs to. God has everything in His mind. Maybe He will use the angels to administer the judgment. But at least if not metaphorical, God keeps the books. God keeps a record of everything we have done. I mentioned in Sunday school a few weeks ago that when I was in school, in high school and junior high and I guess grade school, that I was always told by my teachers that if I did anything wrong, it would be put on my permanent record. You've ever heard of that before, but that's what they used to use against us to keep us in line, I guess. Larry, if you get a spanking or if you're caught cheating, it will be on your permanent record. Permanent. Scarred for life. I was afraid. I've often wondered where my permanent record is today. I think I maybe ought to go back to my old school and ask for the record books and look at my permanent record. Actually, I don't think anybody cares. When I went to get a job, nobody asked me about my permanent record. I worked for the in a couple of secular jobs, and they didn't ask me about my permanent record. They just wanted to know if I could take the second derivative of a trigonometric function. That's all they cared about. I said, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. But there is a permanent record in the books in heaven, metaphorically speaking. And all of our deeds are recorded there. And unbelievers will be judged according to their deeds. And as we learn in other parts of Scripture, the only passing grade is a 100. The only passing grade is a 100, perfection. If you're going to stand before God, apart from Christ, and be judged according to your deeds, and maybe you've done some good things, maybe you've done some bad things, you may be surprised when God says you failed. Because only perfection will be accepted. That's the only passing grade. I'm glad I didn't have any teachers like that in school, but that's the way God is. God is holy. He repeats in verse 13 that they will be judged according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And as I said, don't be concerned about the dead who are buried at sea. They will be resurrected too. Don't be concerned about those who have been cremated or those who have burned up in a fire. They will be resurrected too. And death and Hades, in addition to the sea, gave up the dead which were in them. They were judged, each one according to their deeds. And what follows that, verse 14, is the end, or what follows the end of the earth and heaven is the end of death itself. And I preached on this somewhat, the death of death and the death of Christ. Notice in verse 14, it's death that dies. Or it's death that is thrown into the lake of fire. It's Hades, the grave, is thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. So death and Hades, death and the grave, will come to an end. There will be no more death. There will be no more grave. There will be no more dying. And this is the second death. The first death is that we all die in Adam. In Adam all die. The second death is the lake of fire. And even death will die. That's the place of the beast and the false prophet. In chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he delivered those who had received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped the image. And these two were thrown also into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. In verse 10 of chapter 20, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So what we have here is the good news, in a sense, that the beast, the false prophet, Satan, even death itself, the grave, will all be thrown into the lake of fire. They will be tormented day and night. Probably metaphorical. I don't know that there's any day and night in hell. But we see the extremity of the character in the term forever and ever. Forever ought to be enough, right? But it's not. Forever and ever. The extremity of the time. And then finally in verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And that's the sad story that we all have to deal with, we have to live with, which should certainly energize us to evangelism, that if anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, he is thrown into the lake of fire. If his name is only in the books and is judged according to his works alone, then he too will be thrown into the lake of fire, which shall burn forever and forever. And they will be tormented with the beast and the false prophet and Satan day and night. But then there's the other book. There's the books. And then there's the other book called the Book of Life. If a name is written in the Book of Life, that person will not be cast into the lake of fire. The Book of Life, the book that defines who shall live, who shall not be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. Now, this is not the first time we see this book in the Bible. It's mentioned in a few other places. And I'll cover those real quickly. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as has never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. So, the important thing for all of us is to make sure that our name is written in that book, in the book of life. In the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, Philippians chapter 4, in the third verse, indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life. So as Paul refers to his brothers and sisters in the church at Philippi, he is very assured that their names are written in the book of life. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and all those who dwell on the earth will worship Him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. The book of life was written before God created the world. The names were put in that book before the world was ever made. And those whose names are not written in the book are those who worship the beast. The book of life contains the names of those who come to Christ in faith, washed by His blood, and all of their sins are blotted out. The book of life contains the names of all of those who were predestined before the foundation of the world, in time and space, to come to God through Christ, with the only hope that their sins have been washed away by His blood. They are united with Christ by faith, and they seek to live by the grace of God in Christ, day by day. You see, there's a book, and it has two columns. It has one column that says the name, and it has another column that says, in a sense, washed by the blood with a question mark. And as a Christian, your name is there in the first column. And when it says washed by the blood, it says yes. Yes. Washed by the blood. That's how you get your name in the book, or that's how you make sure your name is in the book, is if you come to rest upon Christ alone as your only hope for the forgiveness of all your sins. And even as you walk the Christian life, it's the only hope that you have day by day that the sins we yet commit will be forgiven by God. Because we are Christian, because we hope in Christ, because we are part of His church, as Paul wrote to the Philippians about these two ladies and others who were part of the church, who said, I'm sure their name is written in the book of life. as we come into the church, we find out that God has written our name in the book of life even before the foundation of the world. We are saved not based upon our works. We are not judged upon our works as the other books. As the unbelievers stand there and God seeks to ask them for an account of how they have lived, and He tells them, what about this, and what about this, and what about this? We stand there, and our name is written in the book of life. Because Jesus died on the cross for us. And we came to Him by faith. Our name is there. And He says, pass by the lake of fire and pass into the eternal life with Me forever. See, that's the only hope we have. God, help us if we are judged on the basis of the merits of our good works. Now, I know that Christians will produce good works and those have a place in how much blessing we have in heaven and so forth, but that's not the issue here today. So that's the teaching of the book of Revelation. That's the awful and the good. The awful is there is a lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever and ever. And the world will be judged by their deeds. And they will be found wanting and they will be cast into the lake of fire. But there's another book, the book of life. And the names in those books were written before the world was created. But it's the names of all of those who have responded by faith to the offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need not worry about the book where all the works are written. We only need to ascertain that our name is written in the book of life. And our name is written there if we have come to Christ. If we have declared Christ our only hope, our Lord and our Savior. Now this is the teaching of Scripture. This is the teaching of the Word of God. Let me just cover a couple more passages. I've got a bunch of them up here, but I'm not going to deal with all of them. This is the teaching throughout the Scriptures. Let me turn to a couple here real quickly. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Matthew chapter 7. And we usually emphasize one part, but I want to emphasize another part of that particular verse. Matthew 7. Verse 23, when Jesus deals with those who perform miracles in His name and prophesied in His name, and He will say to them on the day of judgment, I never knew you. And I think the key term there is that He never knew them. And they never knew Christ. They did a lot of things, even in religious circles, but their life showed no change. Their life showed no hope in the cross. And the reason they were cast into the lake of fire was Jesus says, I never knew you. You see, Christ has to know you. Likewise, you have to know Christ. We know Christ when we hope in His resurrection, when we hope in His crucifixion, when we hope in who He is and what He has said. If we know Christ, or if we are known by Christ, then our name is written in the book of life. And one more passage from the book of Matthew chapter 22, This comes from a parable, but I think it has a good application. Matthew chapter 22, verse 7, where the man was giving a feast and he sent out for those to come. Matthew 22, verse 7. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. And then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both good and evil, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. And the king said to the servant, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." What was the problem when the man came to the wedding? He didn't have on the wedding dress. He didn't have on the wedding clothes. And I think we can apply that to the judgment, the final judgment, before Christ. What we must have on is the wedding dress, the wedding clothes, which is the robe of Jesus Christ, the robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been imputed to us because we have believed in Him, we have trusted in Him, and we have come to Him. We wear the robe of Christ. So therefore, we know that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was written down before God created the world. And in His providence, He sent to us the Word of God. He sent to us a preacher where we heard the Word of God. We heard that we were sinners. We heard that we would be thrown into the lake of fire if God would judge us on the basis of our works and good deeds. And we heard that if we believed in Christ, we would have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. We would wear a white robe on that day, and we would be declared righteous because Christ was righteous. And that's how you avoid the lake of fire. So that has been the testimony of the church down through the ages. And this teaching is not in vogue today. The modern church is a church that oftentimes no longer believes in these things. I was listening to a program on the radio lately, and I was comparing the preacher to me, which we preachers often do, and I thought, you know, the difference is his program is his preaching is conversation, and my preaching is proclamation. Proclamation versus conversation. We're not here for conversation. We're here to proclaim the good news. That if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if we have come to Christ and we have been imputed with the righteousness of Christ, our name is there. That's been the testimony of the church. That's been the good news. And that will continue to be the good news until Christ comes again. And people still say, though, they say, "What? Larry, you don't still believe that anymore, do you?" And I say, "Well, no, I believe it for two reasons. I believe it for reason number one, the Bible tells me so. And number two, I do believe it because personally I believe that I should be sent to hell. Don't you believe that? Personally, I believe, based upon who I am and what I have done, I should be sent to hell and tormented day and night forever and ever. Don't you believe that? And finally, I remember the words of Peter. You remember those words when people came to Peter and said, "Peter, you know, it's been a long time since these things have been spoken of. Nothing's ever happened. And we think nothing ever will happen. There won't be an end of the world. It will go on forever and ever as it is." And in 2 Peter chapter 3, we find Peter dealing with that issue. Verse 3, "Know first of all that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.'" Everything's the same. Every day brings another day and will bring another day, and there will never be an end of the world. There will never be a change, a catastrophe. And Peter says, "For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of the water by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water." They forget about Noah and the ark. They forget about the past. The testimony is there. "But by His word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like a day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God is still seeking repentance for all who hear the gospel. That's why it hasn't come to an end yet. It's not a joke. It's not simply fanatical religion. It's the Word of God. There is a lake of fire. There will be a final day. There will be an end to this earth and heavens as we know it. There will be a new earth and heavens. And all of those who are judged according to their works, who seek to merit God's favor because they've done good things in this life, will be thrown into the lake of fire. And they will be tormented forever, day and night, forever and ever. But if your name's written in the book of life, you will inherit everything that is written in the next two chapters in Revelation. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And how do you know the name? Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which was written there before the world was made. You simply said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve to suffer in hell forever and ever. I come to Christ for His forgiveness. And my only hope is that when God sees me, God will see Jesus." If you've done that, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you need not fear death. You need not fear judgment. You need not fear the future. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that the writing of the name in the Book of Life is not written because we have found favor with God by our merits. But God has chosen some, even before the foundation of the world. And we know who He's chosen, because they have come to Christ in faith, knowing that they deserve nothing but hell itself. They have cried out for Jesus, and they can be assured their name is written in the book of life. Lord, we come this morning, we cry out for Christ. Lord, do what you must to the enemies of God, but have mercy upon us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.